I'm going to jump right to the sermon. They were going to show the video, but we're not going to do it today because I want to give myself time to share this message. And I just want you to know that all the friends that decided not to come to church today because it was spring break is going to miss out on something incredible today. Listen, come on. I wasn't putting up the good food just because they wasn't coming. I brought the good stuff out. You know what I'm saying? We're not eating off of paper plates today. We're eating the real stuff. Come on. Thank y'all for coming out today. This is going to be good. We're in the middle of this series right now called Mastermind. And so we're talking about dealing with our thoughts. And this has been a really, really impactful series. And I've had a lot of feedback and just different people just really appreciating some of the things that we're sharing. But today I want to take it to another level. And today I want to talk about fixing your mind. Look at your neighbor and say, what's wrong with you? I'm going to talk about fixing your mind. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. I just know I'm going to get somebody in some serious trouble with some of these things I'll tell y'all to say to each other. And if I do, y'all just let me know. And we'll chalk it up as a win. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then, say then. Then you'll experience God's peace. A lot of people look for peace, and right there was just a simple, simple way to find peace. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. I like that. It says one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Now, the guy that's writing this, Paul, is the same guy that a few weeks ago we opened this series up, where he was saying, when I want to do what's right, I do what's wrong. And when I don't want to do what's wrong, I try to do well. I mean, this guy was a basket case. He was so lost. It's the same guy that wrote that is now talking about how to fix your thoughts. And what we see in the Apostle Paul is a progression of how he grew and how he overcame these thoughts that he was having, because all of us are dealing with some thoughts, am I right? And some of us are dealing with some thoughts that are so old, have been there for so long, but yet they're still dominant in our lives. And I believe that we have all the necessary resources and tools that God has given us to overcome these thoughts. And Paul is just trying to highlight it to help us so that we can truly live in the freedom. Not just the thought of freedom. It's one thing to see the picture of the menu. It's another thing to actually eat what's on the menu. And God wants us to taste and see that he is good and not just look at the picture menu. Amen? And so this time, though, when Paul is writing this, he's not writing from a place of comfort. He's actually in a prison cell. He's talking about the peace of God from a prison cell. That's not the kind of letter I would write from a prison cell. I would be writing like, hey, come get me out of here. What's a good way to get out as fast as possible? And he's just like, the peace of God. It's just the peace of God. I'm in prison, but it's not a big deal because I'm in here because we are advancing the gospel. He had such a great perspective. And so he's writing this from a prison, and he doesn't sound depressed. He doesn't sound discouraged. And in a place where he should be crying out for help, he's actually in a place where he's writing to help others. It's amazing that you can reach the place that even though you got things going on all around you, it's not affecting. How many of you would like to live in that kind of mindset? That kind of place that even though you got the things going on all over the place, you can still walk in authority and the power of God. So today we're going to talk about fixing our mind. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our opportunity to get together. I pray that this message this morning is really, really going to open our eyes to see what you could do in our lives. And Lord, this morning we dedicate our minds to you, all of our heart, soul, everything. Lord, we fix it on you right now and give you our attention. And I'm asking you this morning, Father, to help me to speak this message, Father, in a way that is easy to understand and easy for every person to grasp. But Father, our goal this morning is for our minds to be fixed, to be renewed, and to be changed so that we can view this life that you've given us the right way. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's recap a little bit so that you know what's going on. I encourage you to check out the podcast. We have all of these on our podcast, and I do believe they're worth the listen. Week one, we started out the series with the message, Changing Your Mind. And we said, if you can change your thinking, you can change your life. And we said that your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. The way you think is determining how you live, is determining how you speak, is determining so many different things in our lives. And so we asked the question, how can I change my mind? And we brought up the word repent. And a lot of times the word repent is used in a threatening way. And because of that, we have a lot of people who are sorry, but nothing changes. They're sorry, and I ask you to forgive me, but we continue to live the same way. And what good is it for us to continue to live the same way when God has so much more for us? And so to understand the fullness of that word, repent, it literally means to change the mind, to change the way that you're thinking so that you can change how you're living. And so we said, if we're going to repent, it has to be a change of mind, but it starts with making a decision. Come on, how many good decision makers in here? You're just really good at four of you. Okay. That's a series coming up. Okay. You got to make a decision. And then after you decide, I'm no longer going to live like that anymore, you have to take action to begin to live the way that you know that you are supposed to live. And then last week, we followed it up with a message about winning the war in our mind. We talked about strongholds that are in our mind, God's mighty power to demolish them. How many of you were here last week? That was such an awesome service. It was very, very powerful. Make sure that you get on the podcast. You got some good things to carry along with you. But last week was so powerful as we talked about tearing down those strongholds. And so how do I win this war in my mind? I think the first thing we have to do is identify the stronghold. What is that dominant thought that is controlling you? And I think it's going to take some time to be able to identify. Sometimes it has to do with our identity. Sometimes it has to do with things that we heard, things that we've been saying to ourselves. But it becomes our own prison. And those things are strongholds that are holding us back from living the life that God has for us. And so we have to identify it. And we said that if we can't defeat an enemy that we cannot define. And there are things in our life that are ruling, that are taking over us, and we have to be able to define what those are. And that is just part of it. And a lot of people, they're able to define it, and they talk about it, but now we have to bring some truth to it, because those strongholds were lies of the enemy. These were lies that the enemy was trying to use to box you in, to imprison you, but there is a truth from God's word to destroy every one of those strongholds. And so we have to be able to name the truth that destroys, that demolishes those strongholds, and we call them the Romans 8 declarations. And you can go through the book of Romans, and there's so many different verses in there that you can just speak over your life. You can fill your name in all the blanks right there, and just speak those declarations over your life. Every time you have that negative thought, that thought that's trying to drag you into a prison, you counter it with a Romans 8 declaration, and now you're fighting. We're getting aggressive with our thoughts so that these thoughts that have been aggressive with us is no longer taking over. Amen. How many of you know it's okay to get a little bit aggressive? Look at your neighbor and say, you better watch out. Don't hit nobody. Okay. So today we're going to talk about fixing your mind. Fixing your mind. Now, I know in the 80s there was that song that love is a battlefield, but really the mind is the battlefield. I know just now some of you wanted me to sing that song and I'm not, but the mind is a battlefield. And most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. This is where it's happening, it's in the mind. And so here's the battle. We're either going to believe God's truth about us, or we're going to believe the enemy's lies to us. Did you hear that? It's either going to be God's truth about us, or the enemy's lies to us. Now, contemplate this. If our lives are moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts, and we can't get control over what we're thinking, then we won't have control over how we're living. Did you grab that? If we don't get control over our thoughts, we won't be able to control how we're living. We won't even be able to control what we're saying, okay? And so we said that all through this series that you can't have a positive life with a negative mind. I mean, you can only turn on Mr. Rogers so much before the pressure comes on and the real you starts coming out. You know what I'm saying? How many of you tried it? Maybe you started out your work week like, Ms. Monday, bless the Lord, and you made it to like 9:15. Some of you didn't even make 9:15. You left the house at 8. By 8:05, you were losing your mind. You had to repent by lunch. You were calling people. You start a group. I need help. It's so crucial that we deal with these thoughts in our mind. And I think we also have to deal with how we're thinking of ourselves. I think also what we think about others and what others think about us, what others have said about us, all of these things can mess with our minds. Watch this. It can mess with our relationships, mess with our families, can mess with our personal success, it can mess with our goals, all of these different things. We don't realize how much it's actually messing with in our lives. And so today, we're going to break this down. And over the next 2 weeks, you got to come back next week because I'm only giving you part one of this message. Today, it was too much. And so next week, I'm going to give you part two. But today, we're going to talk about training your mind. And next week, we're going to talk about reframing your mind. Okay, so today is training. Next week is reframing. That one's a whole other topic in and of itself. But today we have to talk about training your mind. And so in order to train our minds, in order to fix it, we have to retrain it. Meaning this, that there is a way that we've been thinking for so long that it's become so normal to us that we don't even think about how we think. Like we've just thought like that, that it doesn't even, it's not even apparent to us that this isn't the way I need to think. And so whenever anyone comes along that challenges our thinking, surely they must be wrong because that's not how I think. Anybody ever got an argument before? Yes. Don't you notice that when you were dating and as you're going into dating relationships, everything's going good as long as it's deciding on meals and movies. But when we start talking about the real things in life, like money, people have different thoughts about money. Because some people like to spend and some people like to save. Other people don't know what to do with it. But there's differences of opinions. And so let's say you bring two people together and one enjoys spending frivolously. And the other one likes to save ridiculously. And they're trying to bring this together. That brings about some conversations, am I right? And a lot of those conversations are the unsaid ones. The unsaid ones are strong. Those are powerful. Where are you going? Shopping. For what? I don't know. And so we get mad at the shopper. Hold on, we get mad at the shopper because we don't know. And they say, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to save. For what? I don't know. Just know we're supposed to. We both don't know, but we both have our ways of thinking. And when you're trying to bring those thoughts together, what happens? Kind of clashes. And you say, oh, that's just marriage. Okay, go work with somebody. Go work with somebody. They teamed you up with that person on that project. And y'all were cool as long as you were going to lunch. You know what I'm saying? Every Friday we go out to lunch and we're in our jeans with our polos. All the other time we got to wear khakis, but we get to wear our jeans on Fridays. And as long as we were eating meals, we were fine. And now we got to come together and figure out who's got this part of the project and who's got that part of the project. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's amazing. I watch my kids with these school projects. If you're a teacher, please quit doing it to us, okay? Because there's three out of the four that do nothing, and there's the one that's worried about flunking that does it all. Amen. I know. That means mom and dad's got to get involved. Goodness gracious. Anyway, don't do that. And so what happens is everybody's got great ideas and creativity and all these beautiful things that are flowing, but somebody's got to do it. And you know what's funny is nobody can ever decide on a day that we're all going to come together to do it. Well, I can on Saturday. Why? Well, I promised my friend that we were going to go do this. We're going to eat Froyo. Are you kidding me? I've been promising them for like 2 days now. Well, you can go ask her. No, we can't. Why? Because she has a ball game. Like, it's all of these different things. And the ideas were great when you try to bring it together. It's conflicting. Amazing how these thoughts, at one point they could be so great when you try to bring it all together, it just starts falling apart. I think this is what happens in relationships. I think this is what happens at work. I think this is what happens to us. In those situations, what it does is it trains us to think beyond ourselves. Heard this week. This is amazing. The Lord is so good to me. I had something on social media that popped up, and this was from the Duke Medical Center. I know you don't want to hear about Duke right now, but follow me. They're smart over there, okay? And they said that studies have proven that our brain is automatically wired from birth to think selfishly. Look at your neighbor and say, I cannot believe that. We are wired from birth to think selfishly. It just comes, and this is Duke, and they're legit, okay? They are. Y'all like, sure, whatever. Our brains are wired just to think selfishly. And so when you're trying to bring things together, if it doesn't benefit self, there is bound to be a conflict. And so if this is how we're wired, if we're going to retrain our brain, it means I have to retrain myself to no longer be selfish. Ouch. Ouch. Some of you are like, why didn't I go to the beach? It's cold, but man, this is heavy. So when we're talking about the idea of training our minds, let's think about the idea of training our bodies, okay? Whenever we're training our bodies, we have exercises, but we also have the things that we're feeding ourselves. And what you're eating and how much you're moving is determine the health of your body. Same thing with your minds, okay? How you exercise your mind, how you're exercising your thinking, and the things that you allow into your mind, the things that you're exposing yourself to, opening your mind up to, is affecting how you think. That's why it's important that we have some filters. Come on, somebody. To have some filters, because there are some things that are not doing you any good. There are some things that are of entertainment. I wouldn't call it value. I would call it disvalue. That we will sit there and just veg out watching. And it is not helping the way that we're thinking. I just want to throw something at the Lifetime Movie Network. You are not helping us. At all. Like, every dude now is just weird because of the Lifetime Movie Network. Am I right? I mean, they just make dudes look terrible. And I know, women need a voice. We know. We want you to have a voice, but that is not the way to do it. Because there's some good dudes out there, am I right? There are some really good dudes out there. All right, I see a lady clapping for that one. Thank you. I don't know why I said all that. I'm coming back to the sermon. Spring break. Anything could happen. What you allow in, though, is affecting how we think. And so the entertainment, all of that stuff that we could just sit there for hours and hours and just watch, we think it's not doing anything to us. But all I know is when I sat in that movie theater with Cynthia and watched Titanic, I was trying not to cry. It's effective, man. Why did she let go? I still don't know, man. Like, and some of y'all are laughing at me, but you were watching Frozen, and you're a dude, and you were crying. So with our mind, how we exercise it and what we're putting in it is going to determine our health. And so Paul throws this at us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable. Notice what he says. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. He goes down this list of describing the kinds of things that it's going to take to fix our minds. And he says, think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And so to do a little thought evaluation, if you looked over the last week, would you say that the things that we've been feeding our minds, have they been excellent or worthy of praise? Or are they things that's like, I didn't need that. That's not helping. And it's good to have those thought audits, because if we're not checking what's coming in, we're not going to be able to control what's coming out. This is important. It's important to relationships that you have, because there are some friends that are just good for a meal at lunch. And listen, please hear me out here. But they cannot speak into your life on important matters. They can give you opinions about cool things, like which kind of baby carrier you need, you know what I'm saying? And those kinds of things, like, does that shirt look good? Yes, that shirt looks good. Would you buy that truck? No, I wouldn't buy that one. I'd buy Chevy, you know, those kinds of things. But they cannot speak into your life on spiritual matters. They cannot speak into your life on matters that comes to you and your family and you and your relationships. And we have a hard time with that because we are relational people. But can I tell you that not every relationship in our lives have equal value? This is important, because some people will just tell you stuff from their craziness. Seriously. They will just tell you stuff that they use to make it work for them, but that doesn't mean that it really works. That just means that's how I got out of there. And we have to be aware of this, or else we can open up our minds, especially when we're vulnerable, to hear things that affect our actions, okay? And so he's saying, fix your thoughts, train your thoughts. And how do you do that? And this is the question I want to ask you, and this is a big word, but what is your meditation? What is your meditation? Let me give you the definition of that word before you criticize me and think we're going into some kind of weird stuff, okay? The definition of meditation means to engage in mental exercise or to focus one's thoughts. Now, I don't think there are many people in here, especially dudes, that are going to sit there and say, yeah, I meditate all the time, because that just sounds kind of weird. But I want you to know we're meditating a lot more than what we think we are. We're just not sitting there with our legs crossed and going, we're not doing that stuff. I'm serious. We may not be doing it, but that does not mean that you're meditating. Watch this. The thing that you think about the most is the thing that you're meditating on. The things that we think of the most are the things that we are meditating on. Okay? Some people say, it's just new age. That's like being one with the universe and all that stuff. No, no, no. It's just, this is what I'm thinking about. In fact, the word meditate is found all through the Bible. You know that famous, what is it, Joshua chapter 1 that everyone likes to quote, you know, do not be afraid for I'm with you. They like quoting that verse. You know what the next verse is? Meditate on my word day and night. That's the very next verse. God told him to meditate. In other words, I want you to think in this direction. Think about what I say. Think in the direction of my thoughts. For I know, watch this, Jeremiah 23:11, you know that thing you got on the plaque on the wall? That when you sign your autograph, you know, for everybody, you put Jeremiah 23:11 on, you know, just to kind of like give somebody a little encouragement. It's kind of like how you balance out your pride with humility, you know, give them a verse. Okay, Jeremiah 23:11, it says, for I know the thoughts. Am I right? For I know the thoughts. How do you know the thoughts? You got to think about it. You got to meditate. If I can meditate on in that direction, what is it going to do? It's going to help me to think like that. It is that simple. Let's go home, okay? That's it. That's all you gotta do is meditate. You ready to go home?
Yeah.
Okay. See? Okay. A little bit more here. You're missing the best part. Okay. Here's the process of meditation. That was painful. Here's the process of meditation, okay? The first part is you empty the mind. The second part is you fill the mind with truth. You have to empty the mind. And then you have to fill the mind with truth. And some of you are like, okay, I like the second part. Please tell me how to do the first part. Anybody ever wake up in the middle of the night and your mind is just going crazy? Anybody not be able to go to sleep at night because your mind is just going crazy? Just, what's going on there? Our thoughts are so rampant. They're running around. And we know, I've got to do something or else this is going to wear me out. So watch this in Psalms 119, verse 15 and 16. And this is King David. David wrote a lot of the book of Psalms. And this is what he said. He said, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. In other words, I'm thinking about how you got this thing planned out for me, Lord. I delight in your decrees. In other words, your standards. I delight in it. And I will not neglect your word. These little snippets all through the Bible are clues for how we can fix our minds, how we can get some good meditation going. But sometimes we read over that, meditate on your precepts, consider your ways, I delight in your decrees, I'm not going to neglect your word. Oh, that's worthy of a yellow highlighter. Let me highlight that. That'll be good if I need it someday. But right then and there, we need it because that verse has so much impact. So let me tell you real quick how you clear your mind. And this is going to blow your mind. You've never heard anything this... I mean, this is so proliferant. I mean, it's powerful, okay? Prayer clears your mind. That's why it's so hard to do. I know. You thought we were about to have this big clapping moment right here and everybody was going to go crazy. Prayer clears your mind. And let me add a little something to it. Prayer and worship clears your mind. Prayer and worship clears your mind. It's an amazing view from the stage during the worship songs. It's an amazing view. Because there are some people out there that are really out there worshiping and getting into it. And then there are people that you can tell their minds are just turning. Just rolling. And they're trying to figure out, do I really want to do this? I don't know. Do I have pit stains under my arms? Those are thoughts, man. They're real. I mean, people have them. Can't sing because I won't sing a tune. I don't want to mess the singers up on the stage. You know, those things. This is the stuff that people are going, you may not think it's happening. I don't like that song. Where's she at? She said she was going to bring the kids. She said she was going to be right back and she ain't here yet. How come they didn't have any more coffee? Like, these are the thoughts as well as other things. And you can see people are thinking, their minds are just rolling. Can we just take a moment and just lift our hands and worship God? And I think this is one of the biggest battles that people are dealing with, and their minds are just so cluttered, and it's overshadowing who God is and what God can do, and our minds are just going crazy, and we can't even call a timeout in the middle of this crazy game. And we have to call the timeout to pray, God, I need you right now. My thoughts are going crazy. And he would probably say, I know, I've been trying to get through to you, but the line is so busy. It's just taking the time out to pray and to worship God. And watch this. The Word of God fills the mind with truth. And now when I read this stuff and I learn this stuff, I look back to everything that I had been learning since the very early age of going to children's church when I was a little kid. And you know what they told us over and over every single week? Because we never missed. Like, my parents were strict. I mean, we never missed. We were there for everything. And I could sum up pretty much every single lesson from Sunday school, children's church, youth group, and what we call big church, which is where you're at today. This is what I learned. Pray, worship God, read your Bible. And it's amazing how those little things have been right there all along. But yet, we don't feel like they do enough for us. And so we go searching for other things. That's going to give me some peace. That's going to give me some calm. That's going to make it all go away. And we've spent a ton of money. We've spent a lot of time. We've spent so much stuff trying to find what only God can give us. And I know you're sitting there right now and you're like, I thought you were giving us the really good stuff today. Like, you just told us. It's coming. Hold on. It is. It really is, man. So watch this. This is basic training. It's training my mind to focus on God's Word. But here's the deal. Focus is a skill. Did you hear that? Focus is a skill. In other words, it's going to take some practice for me to get focused. And if you already have issues with attention, come on, because they're out there. Trust me, I'm up here a lot of times whenever I'm speaking. I'm up here a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times I'm up here when I'm speaking, and I see people checking out. It's attention stuff, and we have a hard time paying attention, and we have a hard time paying attention to God. We have a hard time paying attention when we're reading our Bible. Like, you get two verses in, you're like, what's that, a squirrel? It's true. Our minds are just all over the place, and what do we have to do? We have to make ourselves focus. We got to focus our mind because our minds drift by distractions. Our minds drift because of deceptions. Our minds drift because of discouragement. These are the things that are causing our mind to go all over the place. And we miss out on these things that God is saying. And what we don't realize is a lot of times these distractions are just lies. There are things that we that are appealing to us, but they're not necessarily beneficial for us. Come on. Yeah. And I've found, even as a parent, it's a lot easier for me to talk to my kids about getting focused and you need to buckle down and pay attention to your studies. And we need to tell ourselves that I need to buckle down and pay attention to studying God's Word, or else I'm not going to be sane enough to parent you in the right direction. Like, I really need to get it together, because I want to be angry and I want to lash out and I want to have a lot of feelings, but I can't live that way. And how am I going to control these thoughts? I've got to focus my attention. And this is our problem, because we live in a world with so many options. And there's an option to do this, an option to go there, an option to watch this. And it's like right there on our phone. It's right there at our fingertips. We can see everything that is so readily available that it makes our focus such a challenge. I can remember years ago when I made the decision that, you know what, I'm going to become a prayer person. Like, every day. Like, I know I need to pray, but I'm going to make this a part of my daily routine. And so, like, the first day, just kind of jumping in, you know, you kind of amped up about it. Let's do this. I mean, like, 5 minutes in, I finished everything. I mean, seriously, 5 minutes in, it was like, amen. Man, I'm not a prayer warrior. 5 minutes in, that's weak. I got nothing. So the next day, I was like, okay, if I can make it six, just 6 minutes today, I'm growing. And so I was watching the clock the entire time. You know what I'm saying? Oh, let me say a few more things about that. You know, and then next thing you know, it made it 10 minutes. And I kept practicing it. Even in the silly moments where I was timing it, it was silly, but what was I doing? I was trying to focus it. And I was trying to become more intentional. And next thing you know, it's 30 minutes. It was like, wow, that didn't feel like 30. That felt like 5. But I felt like I was gaining ground because now my focus was aimed in the right direction. And I found it a lot easier to get on that highway the more I did it. And the more I practiced, the better I got at it. And the easier it was to speak. And watch this, the easier it was to hear. Because prayer isn't just saying, but it's also hearing. And so it was kind of like, I'm doing better. And then I just stopped praying for all of my stuff and started asking other people, what can I pray for you for? Because I felt like I was getting better at it. And next thing you know, watch this, I could go an hour. And that wasn't so like I could prove myself as a preacher. Like, I don't have to pray for an hour. God, you're all powerful, do it all. Amen. Let's move on. But what was it doing? It was focusing my mind in that particular area to think the way God thinks, to have faith the way God said it could work. So not only was I praying for this thing, but because I was praying, it was God working in me to adjust the way I was thinking about it. And I think that's an important part of prayer, because a lot of times, instead of praying God's will, we're praying our motives. And we're wondering why God ain't answering it, and we're questioning God's reality. And God is real. God just doesn't go outside of his will to do what you want.
Amen.
Wow. Didn't know I was going to say that today. But meditation is focus. Sometimes we can have some spiritual ADD. Just can't focus. And this is where it takes practice. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit more here, a little bit more there. And next thing you know, it's adding up. And listen, you need to know, this thing begins to snowball after a while. Maybe you're not comfortable worshiping, and so you come to church and you're standing like this. Listen, during the fast song, this is an easy one. Just jump on board. Just a little clap. You don't have to be too aggressive with it. You know what I'm saying? Just a little clap. Seriously, just a little clap. Maybe on the slow songs, you know, just put your hands out like this. It's like you're carrying the flat screen, you know, just not too much. But as you keep practicing it, guess what? Your focus. See, what are these things? Listen, I believe God designed worship like that to get our focus on Him and our focus off of ourselves and all the other stuff going on. So I'm clapping. Focusing on the song, focusing on the words of the song, trying to stay on beat. You know what I'm saying? Please don't get off beat when you clap. If you're not a good clapper, just tap your foot or something, okay? But it's a little bit at a time, and it grows. Practice is going to help you to grow. So watch this. Our concentration is affected by all of these thoughts. Our concentration. Can't concentrate. And having difficulty concentrating. I remember third grade, man. This is a vivid memory for me. Third grade, had a note came home from the teacher. Miss Lewis was her name. God, this is rough, man. Third grade, I'm still having flashbacks. Miss Lewis sent that note on and was informing my parents that my grades were slipping and that they needed to address the situation. Never, ever send that kind of note home to my father and expect him just to brush it off. And I remember we were sitting at the kitchen table, and he took a different approach with me that day than I've ever seen him take. Because usually if the note comes home, it was, let me help you deal with this, son. And there was some spanking involved, or whipping is what we call it. Spanking was light, which was what mama did. Whipping was what daddy did. Mama never closed the door. Dad did. And I'm better for it. So before you hate on the spankers, trust me, I'm better for it, okay? And he sat across from me at the kitchen table. And he says, so you know we got the note today. I said, yes, sir. And he said, I want to help you with that. And I thought I was getting off the hook. I did. I thought, this is good news. Like, he's going to help me. He said, so you're having some problems concentrating in class? I said, yes, sir. He said, how's your eyesight? I said, well, Dad, I can see really good. I said, okay, good. I'm glad, because if you need glasses, We can take you to the eye doctor and we can help you there, son. But if you can see the board well and everything you need to see, we're in good shape there. So that part's taken care of. I said, okay, good. He said, how's your hearing? Well, the year before that, I had ear surgery, lost all my hearing in my left ear. And so he's just kind of checking on it. He said, can you hear everything well in class? I said, yes, sir. He said, you can hear your teacher? Yeah, I can hear everything. He said, you sure? Because he said, I don't want you to be in a spot where you can't hear and you can't learn. I want to help you. And I said, yeah, I can hear just fine. He said, do you like your teacher? I said, yeah, I do. I like Miss Lewis. He said, I think I know what the problem is. I said, really? He said, you got too much play in your head. And I'm going to get it out of there. Let's go to the room. My grades went up after that. I did really well. Man, fourth grade, I did extremely well. Some of you would say that's aggressive. I know. And I'm not like that with my children. But I do think we have to be like that with our thoughts. I do. And we have become a culture that is very safe and very careful because we don't want to say anything that offends. But yet the things that are being said in our mind is offending us every day. And it's putting us in position to fail. And we're trying to talk ourselves up like we're doing okay. But yet we are struggling and we're falling apart. And we're encouraging ourselves down a road that leads to destruction. And we're not turning around. We're just feeling like this is just the way it's going to be for me. But yet God has better thoughts. So last week when we read in 2 Corinthians where it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We said, you got to change your focus. That means I change my concentration. I have to change the things that I'm concentrating on. For every thought, I have to take it captive and make it obedient to God's word. Now, what I want to do today is I want to show you what that looks like. Because when we hear that, it sounds like, yeah, I agree with it. But how does this actually work in everyday life? This whole thought of meditating, Pastor Wade, what does this really, really look like? And so I have an illustration that I'm going to take out for you today to show you exactly what I'm talking about. We're going to use a stool. We use some ping pong balls. We're going to use a glass jar. And we're going to use some water. See, I told you this was going to be good. So these ping pong balls are going to represent our thoughts. You ever played ping pong before? Yeah. Like if you hadn't played ping pong in a while and you try to get on the table to play ping pong, let me just say this, you're not good. Even if you were good before, you're not good because you forgot how the ball bounces. And we see it at church all the time. These little kids come in talking smack like they can put spin on the ball and everything. And then they hit it and we're losing. Like we have lost so many ping pong balls. So thank you for your giving that allows us to keep providing ping pong balls for our young people. It's true, man. You're gone. So these ping pong balls are going to represent thoughts. And this right here is going to represent our mind. And all through our life, there's been thoughts that we've had, and they're bouncing all over the place. Some of the things were spoken into our lives, some of the things were things that we experienced and that we learned, but our mind just continues to be filled with all of these different thoughts. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So here's some of that 2 a.m. stuff right here. You know what I'm saying? When you can't sleep, isn't that what it feels like? It's like somebody just keeps putting all this stuff in there. And so sooner or later, our minds are filled with all of this stuff. So imagine if you have to go to class the next day. I'm trying to help a young person out while they're on spring break. Imagine if you have to go to class the next day and 7:26 the bell rings for high school. And you got to pay attention in that first class because you decided to take an AP course. So you don't have to pay for that in college. To help your parents. But yet your mind is just overwhelmed with all kinds of stuff. The next day you have a presentation to do at work. And your mind is overwhelmed with all these thoughts. And you're trying to concentrate and your kids are calling you like, not now, honey. Not now, honey. I can't. Not now. I need to really, really focus on this. I really, really need to think about this. You know? Trying to know what I'm talking about? Or are you trying to do a getaway weekend, just you and your spouse, but yet your mind is just so full of so many different things, and you thought it was going to be a peaceful getaway, and it is not a peaceful getaway, because our mind is just overwhelmed. trying to figure out how to pay off this debt, how we're going to make it this month because the kids got to get braces. Like, we can go on and on. Got to get new tires on your car. Like, this is the real stuff. And that's not even talking about the doubts that we have about ourselves. The things that we talked about this yesterday in our e-group. Just the way that we talk to others so many times is so nice, but the way we talk to ourselves is brutal. Like, why? We're still trying to figure out why do we do that, but it's true, man. And I think it's because of these different thoughts and all these condemnations and all these lies. And so how in the world am I going to meditate when I have all of this in my mind? Anybody feeling me out here today?
Yes.
Because this is where it gets real. Pastor Wade, I tried to read my Bible, but I can't understand anything it says. And so you've been recommended to use versions that are a lot easier to read, like the New Living Translation, the Message Bible, and people argue with us about the Message Bible. Like, dude, let's just get an on-ramp to get this thing started. Like, anything. And you're two sentences in, and you just, I can't think because all of these different things that are on our minds. And then we feel guilty because I call myself a Christian. I can't even read God's Word. Like, these are the cycles that we get in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm supposed to be doing good, but I'm not because I have all these thoughts and my mind's just overwhelmed. And I'm not going to lose it, but I'm about to. And if somebody comes along with one more thing. Lose my mind. Thing's still going. You see, that's like your thoughts. Just keep going and going and going. It's bouncing all over the place. So we talked about, how am I going to clear my mind? How am I going to get to this place to where my mind can be filled? Some of you are already figuring out the whole illustration, but follow with me. The presence of God is refreshing. When we're praying, when we're worshiping God, it's refreshing, like a cool drink of water on a hot day. The Word of God is like water. It's nourishment for our souls. And here's the thing. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time for this. I got too much going on. Even when I'm at church, I can't even think about it because I got so much going on. And this is what we don't realize. So I just want to show you this because so many times we put ourselves in a place of I can't and I won't. When we actually are in the place for I can, I am, and I will. So maybe today you were battling with even coming to church today. You thought, I don't know, I just ain't feeling it. I got to pass anyway, spring break. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the real thoughts that we have. But you know what? I need to go. And so today it was just a little bit. Maybe later on you'll see a Bible verse. And it'll just make you think about it a little bit. So you chew on it for a few minutes. Just a little bit more. Tomorrow morning, you're heading into office. You decide, you know what? I probably better not listen to country today. It's Monday. There's a lot of people out. And so I'm going to have a lot on my plate. Let's listen to some Way FM, some K-Love. You know what I'm saying? And they share the word of the day. And then you're scrolling through your social media and you notice Emerge Church put the verse of the day up there. Are you grabbing what's going on here? And then you take a few minutes to sit down and read God's word. And this is the part right here where somebody will say, but nothing's happening. I keep going to church every week. Nothing's happening. Going again this Sunday. Let's go to E-group. Nothing's happening. It's not Go back one more time. Let's go to E-group. Oh, Fight Club. Sisterhood's coming up. So I hope you see what I'm showing you here, because it's not like I go read the Bible one time and everything goes away. I go to one church service and it's all fixed. No, what is it? It's a meditation. So every day I'm getting in God's Word. Another day in God's Word. Another day in God's Word. You notice what's happening. The more I do it, it's pushing out the negative. And all I'm doing is meditating. The concentration of the mind of this container is changing little by little. It's a constant meditation. So now there's that one Sunday where it's just bomb. They were rocking the worship. Pastor Wade was bringing it that Sunday.
Yeah.
And only one thought changed. God, we're praying for him. And then you go to E-group that week. And then somebody comes up to you just to encourage you and pray for you. You seen this? And then you have a friend in E-group that needs some encouragement, and so you share what God's been doing in your life. It's a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. And the more I do it, look at this. Making a mess up here, I don't make any more. I wanted to show you that example because I don't want you to think that it's a one-time thing and everything's gone. This is a matter of changing the concentration, and it's a little bit at a time. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there. But the more I do it, the more I spend time with God, the more I allow him to pour into my life, all of those thoughts, guess what? They're being overpowered. And I just want to encourage the basics today. Because like I said, training your mind is basic training. And I do want to encourage you to spend time with God, reading the Bible. You say, I don't even know where to read. I just flip it open, and wherever it opens, I start reading. Listen, if I didn't know where to start, I would just go to the book of Psalms. I'm just being honest with you. When I was a kid, I got bored during church. I would open up the Bible and just read the book of Psalms because they were quick. Like, you get 7 and 8 verse chapters and you finish 5 of them, you feel like I never read that many chapters in a book at one time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt accomplished. Seriously. I would say start reading. I would say change the music you're listening to. When I was a kid, they would tell me, don't listen to rock and roll, it'll damn your soul. I'm just telling you, that's what they told me. Never told me what it was all about. They never told me that the messages in these songs were not the most encouraging. I mean, seriously, they never told me that. Now that I'm older and I listen to it, it's like, whoa, change it. I don't want the kids to hear that. That's not good for them to hear. Seriously. And start listening to music that promotes what God is saying. I'm not putting a plug in here for Christian radio. I'm just telling you, what you put in your mind is going to determine how you think. And little by little, what will happen is the way that you think, the way that you perceive, all of these things begin to change. Why? Because the meditation, the concentration has changed. And now my mind is fixed on what God is saying instead of all these other things that are just messing with my emotions, that's making me believe a bunch of lies. And so if you're overwhelmed with thoughts and it's just too much and all of this stuff is just kind of like bouncing around, if it hits you, I'm not mad at you, I'm just trying to make a point, and it's just bouncing around, this is where we got to say, wait a minute, I need some time with the Lord, and just say, God, I'm open. Begin to pour into my life with your presence. I'm going to read God's word and let it pour into my life. Watch this. I'm going to lift my hands and worship. When I lift my hands, I am open and I am vulnerable. God, come and fill my life. And when he fills my life, it changes my thinking. And all the time, all I can think is it that easy? It's so easy, but yet it's so difficult. Because the distractions, I just feel like the enemy's just sitting there. Ashley's trying to worship. She's trying to worship. Am I right? Oh, Joe's going to read his Bible? No, he's not. No, he's not. Am I right? This is the stuff that happens. Trying to sit there and just have a moment, and it just starts flying at you. Okay? I'm going to fire back. I'm going to fire back. Those Romans 8 declarations, I'm firing back. See, we're trying to be too innocent. trying to be too innocent. You don't have to try to be innocent with the enemy. You overpower him with the holiness of God. Because the holiness of God is powerful. He tries to tell me I can't. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at your life, it's falling apart. I know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and called according to his purpose. Messing with me, I'll mess with you. And I ain't throwing ping pong balls at you. I'll knock you down, see? Like, these are the thoughts, it's a mindset. What am I doing? I'm just going back. I'm going to get filled. I'm going to get filled. This is what it's all about. And what I'm telling you is that the answer has been right there all along. When you see it in this context, you say, you know what? Okay, get serious about this. Because if I don't get serious about training my mind, I'm going to think in ways I don't need to think. Next week, you got to come back as we talk about reframing your mind. This is the next step. We're training it. Now we got to reframe it. We're talking about perspective now and the filters that we have on our mind, how we're going to see things. This is going to be excellent. And so I just encourage you today, time with God. You say, Pastor Wade, I don't even know how to pray. This is what my prayer would sound like if I didn't know how to pray. Dear Lord, I don't even know how to pray. But I'm coming to you because I need you. I really need your help. My mind is all over the place. And they told me at church today that prayer clears my mind. You can do that. You can pray that prayer. And I ask you, Lord, to clear my mind. Simple. Bible verse. I need a Bible. I don't have a Bible. Wait a minute. There's a Bible app for that. You download YouVersion. There's always a million reading plans. There's the verse of the day. Let's just start with the verse of the day. Think about it a little bit. What am I doing? All I'm doing is I'm meditating. Changing the concentration. And the more I practice it, the more it changes things. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, thank you for our time to share this message. Simple yet powerful. Moments in your presence. Changes things that occurred throughout our lifetime. And I pray now, Lord, that the things that keep us from your presence, the busyness, the fear of being close to you, the guilt of coming to you, that you have already cleared the way for and told us to come boldly before your throne. I pray now, Lord, that we will come to you consistently, constantly, so that the concentration of our minds will begin to change. Lord, we know that you're all powerful, but we understand that we have to put ourselves in the position to experience your power. And Lord, I just pray that we will be disciplined to spend the time with you in your word, to spend the time with you in worship, and to call upon your name. And Lord, I believe that as we do that, the concentration of our minds is going to change from selfish thoughts and fearful thoughts and discouraging thoughts to powerful thoughts. Thoughts that set us up, Father, for the plans that you have for us. So Lord, today I pray that this message has challenged our thinking about the simple disciplines of reading your word and worshiping and prayer. And I pray, God, that we would just be faithful to make the time to do it. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here today and you are away from God, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and maybe you're here today and you feel overwhelmed by the decisions of your life and the guilt of your sins and your wrongdoing, we have good news for you. God forgives. And this moment right here, God has been preparing you for this moment, because this is the day of your salvation. This is the day that your sins are forgiven. This is the day that you start anew. It's a fresh start. It's a new beginning for you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Wade, I am away from God, and I need to come to him today and ask him for the forgiveness of my sins and make a decision and to choose to follow him, we want to pray with you today. If that's you, will you just lift a hand and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I'm away from God. And this time, though, I'm trusting you. Anyone else would raise their hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Will you pray this prayer out loud with me? I love praying this prayer with you every Sunday, but I want you to pray this along with me. Say, Dear Lord,
I thank you
for loving me
no matter what.
Through all of my mistakes,
all of my
sins, all of my decisions, you never stopped loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to go to the cross to pay for all the things that I've done wrong. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my punishment so that I could be forgiven. So I choose today to surrender my life to you. And I ask you to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to lead me and guide me. I ask you to be my best friend. I ask you to change my heart. I ask you to change my thinking. I choose your plans over my own. I choose to live my life your way.